All right, let's keep moving. Third hour is a good hour. It's wide open. We've done all the interviews. We've done the beef segment. So let me open this thing up. Wide open. Wide open. I've got a lot of content that I still want to get to, but I'm opening it up to you. If you tried to get through before and it didn't work, if you tried to get through before and you did but didn't get on the air, reset yourself. Try it again. Hour number three. Here we are. Program brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. The one thing we have locked in is the ATP. That's not going to take very long. In fact, why don't you take a shot at it? Ask me a question. Ask me something you want to know about anything at all. ATP coming up later on. You have your telephone number. You know where to find me on social media. We've already talked to Ian Book, Notre Dame quarterback. He was back in hour number one, made his jungle debut, made it count. We talked about the NBA draft, which is this evening, with Matt Norlander. Dennis Dodd just talked some college football with us. As I mentioned, Wednesday is our podcast day. We've done this now for more than 3 years. Justin Thomas, who I have not spoken to in a minute or two, had a good run at the Masters, had a very good look at it. In fact, his best finish ever at the Masters. He came in fourth, former world number one. He's my guest on episode 152 of the Jim Rome Podcast. And again, 1-800-636-8686. Remember back in 2013, Steelers head coach Mike Tomlin gave the world this legendary tweet, and I quote, "Hello, Twitter. Expect no BS from me. Just straight fire." It was such a good tweet. In fact, still one of my favorite tweets. I mean, it doesn't seem like straight fire now, but at that time, back in 2013, a head coach of that magnitude to bust out like that for a very first tweet, that was a great, great tweet. One of the best ever on that platform. And I say that because it's an NFL head coach, a Super Bowl winning head coach, no less, creating a Twitter account, which was kind of unusual in and of itself, but not only creating that account, but busting out and telling the world, expect no BS from me, just straight fire. I love that line so much. I love that phrase so much. So we had a partner then, and we have a partner now, Jamie Roth. Jamie Roth is a good friend of mine and a partner in the horse business. And she's like, she owns lots of horses, her and her family. And she's constantly coming up with horse names because they own so many horses. So it's like, it's kind of a fun game. Like, naming a baby is hard. Naming a horse is much tougher than it looks. So she's constantly, because even if you get a good horse name, you have to get it passed by the association, by the registry. So you have to submit the name, and I don't know what the number is, but they kick back a really high percentage of names. It's kind of like a vanity plate, where you pitch the vanity plate, but the DMV will kick it back because there's something offensive, and they've got their own criteria. So it's really hard to actually name a horse. So when I saw that tweet, I'm like, damn, that's it. Straight fire. Straight fire is going to be an amazing name for a horse. So I love that so much that we named a horse right after that tweet. But not only that, I thought the name was so awesome. We weren't just going to drop it on any horse. We were waiting for what we thought was our best horse. Like, you don't name a horse that's not that good straight fire. That'd be a bad look. So we finally buy this colt. And keep in mind, when you get a horse, horses don't run. If everything breaks perfectly, a horse will run as a two-year-old. But oftentimes, not until they're three. And sometimes not until they're four or later. So what I'm saying to you is, we finally found the horse that we wanted to name Straight Fire. Finally found one good enough, athletic enough, long enough. We found our Kentucky Derby horse. And we decided to name it Straight Fire. But even then, you've got to wait a few years. So, we do this. And this horse, Straight Fire, for a short period, lived up to the name. That was a running mother jumper, Straight Fire. It's a badass horse, man. Such a good horse. Like, broke his maiden at Del Mar by 10 and a half lengths. That good. He looked like a Derby horse. But it had been so long. Tomlin. Like, Straight Fire has been retired for years, and we never got that Straight Fire tweet from Tomlin. I mean, if we're being honest, the Straight Fire has not been flowing from at Coach Tomlin on Twitter. This guy's not jumping on there after games and lighting suckers up like we thought. In fact, his tweets generally are pretty infrequent, And when he finally does get around to thumbing something out, generally, it's just him wishing good luck to the Pirates or the Penguins. Not exactly offensive, and definitely not straight fire. Now, let me get this out of the way before I continue. Mike Tomlin is a great coach. Mike Tomlin's a hell of a football coach. 14 seasons as a head coach, and he has never had a losing season. In a league which is designed for parity and to make it difficult to have sustained success, this guy's never had a losing season, not even once. Even when they lost Ben Roethlisberger for an entire season last year, they didn't have a losing season. So now Ben's back. Pittsburgh's better than ever, literally. They have the best start to a season in franchise history. When you're doing something like that, that's never been done in Pittsburgh, you know you're doing something special. Pittsburgh is heading to Jacksonville Sunday, 9-0 versus 1-8. Ben Roethlisberger versus Jake Luton. Remember when folks got all pumped up about the Jags winning their season opener? Neither do I, because they've lost 8 in a row since. There's a point to this. So now we're at the point in the season where Jags head coach Doug Marrone is talking about having his soul removed on a weekly basis. He said this after yet another loss on Sunday.
Every time you play and lose, there's something that's in my soul that just gets ripped out.
It's a strong quote. There's something that's in my soul that gets bleeping ripped out. So Pittsburgh rolls into this game on Sunday knowing they've got a rematch with the Ravens on Thanksgiving. So you might be thinking that it's a so-called trap game for the Steelers. Then maybe they're looking past a crappy Jacksonville squad that's lost 8 in a row and already thinking about Baltimore. Mike Tomlin is here to tell you, you are wrong.
This is the NFL. We are not a Big Ten team playing a MAC opponent this week. Every time we step into a stadium, we're playing professionals, players and coaches. And we got a ridiculous level of respect for that. And so write your story, man. Follow your storylines and trap games and things of that nature. We understand what we're going into in Jacksonville, that's a group that's trying to kick our butt, a professional group, a capable group, and we're preparing with that understanding.
Damn, finally some straight fire. Quote, I love that they have, quote, a ridiculous level of respect, end quote, for the Jags. Man, that statement finally lived up to the mantra. Finally lived up to the mantra of at Coach Tomlin.
Finally.
Sort of. Finally. Because the straight fire was his concept of trap games and people calling this a trap game. And he's right. Pittsburgh is not going to look past Jacksonville. But let's not get too carried away, all right? In fact, you know what this is? This is exactly like a Big Ten opponent playing a MAC opponent this week. It's the team with the best record in the NFL facing the team with the second worst record in the NFL. That's about as Big Ten v. MAC as it gets in the NFL. As far as calling them, quote, a professional group, a capable group, yeah, that might be a bit of a stretch. I guess they're professional in the strictest definition, in the sense that they're paid to play football, but capable. Capable of what exactly? Sounds like a college coach who's about to tell you or try to convince you why an 0-3 Bowling Green team is about to win a national championship. And Tomlin wasn't done either. He had even more hype for the Jags.
A significant component, particularly of their last matchup in Green Bay, was their ability to get the ball. And we all know Green Bay's ability to possess the ball. Green Bay, I think, is number one in the NFL in safeguarding the football. They had some significant turnovers in that game, and that turnover element of play is something that we need to be cognizant of as we head down to Jacksonville. We've always had rough and tumble games with those guys down there. They always play really tough defense.
Hey, again, coach, nothing but respect, man. You're an amazing coach. One of the best I've ever seen. But who are you trying to convince with that crap? Like, if you tell yourself a lie enough times, it becomes the truth. Ask Orenthal. I mean, coach, with respect, and this is an enormous Jags house, but Fred Taylor and Tony Boselli ain't walking through that door. Keenan McCardell and Tony Brackens are not suiting up this weekend. Nor is Mark Brunell. And if Brunell were, he'd probably still be better than what they have. And he's 50, and he hasn't played nearly a decade. Look, I appreciate that you're wanting to be cognizant of the turnover battle because it always comes down to the turnover battle. I understand that you want to point out what the Jags did to the Packers on Sunday, but let me point something out. They're still 1-8. They've still lost 8 games in a row. You're having to work pretty hard to sell the idea that this is a good Jags team. And they're not. They're not straight fire. The Jags are straight terrible. And so is trying to make Jake Luton out to be the next coming of Joe Montana. I mean, you got to stop that and start giving us what you promised back in the day. Straight fire. In fact, I can even help you. I will help you with a sample tweet. A sample tweet of what you promised us back in 13. Thumb this out. Good news is Jacksonville is our bye week. So we will have 2 weeks to get ready for the one that really matters. Baltimore. Hashtag straight bums. Hashtag straight fire. Hashtag. Welcome, coach. A Twitter feed is a terrible thing to waste. Don't do it. I think that's the closest we're going to get to straight fire from Mike Tomlin. He's pretty worked up, though, man. Man, Lou Holtz back in the day never tried to sell an opponent as hard as he just did. Quote, this ain't some kind of Big Ten versus MAC opponent thing here.
We are not a Big Ten team playing a MAC opponent this week.
Actually, Mike, that's exactly what you are. You're 9-0 and they're 1-8. So that is actually exactly what you are. And whatever you do, man, don't make me look bad and go and lose that game. Don't go out there and lose that game to prove a point. Because if you're losing to 1-8 Jacksonville, in no way are you Super Bowl material. I'd argue the same thing about the Tampa Bay Bucks. If you're losing games by 35, you are not Super Bowl material. Straight fire. Let's go to a tweet. At 1for3C1. Of course, Jim Harbaugh is not a good fit. Signed, Harbaugh's smack-off call.
Romy, it's good to be on the smack-off. I just want to say thanks for taking my call. And I'd like to wish everybody out there a very happy holiday. And I don't really have a whole lot of smack to say today. It's a holiday and a day of peace and harmony, kind of like Fuzzy and Tiger playing in the Masters. But I want to wish everybody and their families a happy holiday, except for some of your clones who don't really have families and are behind in their child support payments like your boy Sean in Syracuse. Tell that clone to get a life.
What a world, man. It's amazing how things come around and go around and turn around or don't. That was Jim Harbaugh calling us during a smack-off, who clearly knew the show. He's name-checking guys. He's talking about, quote, clones. Amazing.
Tell that clone to get a life.
You know what's even more amazing? How badly he's failed in Michigan. I want to go back to the point that Dennis Dodd made that, you know what, in a way, maybe it's just a timing thing. Maybe Harbaugh took that job at the wrong time. He happened to do it at a time when Ohio State was so much better than not only everybody in the conference, but everybody nationally, you know, not named Alabama or Clemson. Like, they're a juggernaut. Ohio State's a freaking juggernaut. So just wrong time, wrong place, wrong time, bad timing. That'd be fine and well. Because Harbaugh hasn't beaten them, can't beat them. But it's not just Ohio State again. It's anybody who matters on a big stage. He can't win games that are pick'em games, big stage. He beats everybody he's supposed to beat, but nobody that he might not beat. And they didn't bring him there for that. You can find any number of guys, Michigan men or not, that can win 70% of their games there. That's not an impossibility. They brought him there not to contend for conference championships. They brought him there not to win conference championships. They brought him there to win national championships. That's why you bring that guy back. That's why you pay him the amount of money that you pay him. And he hasn't done that. They brought him there to develop quarterbacks because he played quarterback there, because he played quarterback successfully in the NFL for a long time, because he developed quarterbacks successfully, both in college and in the NFL. He hasn't been able to do that. Like, what the hell happened to this guy? Doesn't have a buy-in, not recruiting well enough, can't develop quarterbacks. What happened to that guy there? I mean, it's one thing to flame in the smack off, but to flame at your alma mater as badly as he did. I mean, I mean that. That's not a rhetorical question. Like, I want to know how that could have gone so badly. Considering what he did at the University of San Diego, and he parlayed that into a job at Stanford, where he did an amazing job, where he parlayed that into a job at the 49ers, where he did an amazing job. Yeah, I mean, I know this guy runs hot. I know he pisses everybody off. I know he's got a short life, a shelf life. But that's not what that's about. In Michigan, he just straight failed there. Didn't get it done. What happened? And Chris in St. Pete tweets, watch out, Mr. Radio Man. Quote, just dump this on your neck and you'll get sex is our trademark tagline. Signed, Axe Body Spray.
There you are.
I get it, but it's essentially the notion of the entire space and industry, right? Isn't that the whole point? It's not to smell good. It's not even to cover up your BO or your cigarette smoke. It's for you to get laid. That's what it is. That's what cologne is, man. That's what perfume is. It's to get it on. That's why you wear it. This guy's going back to back. This guy likes that thread. Chris, no longer in St. Pete. Russ's alternate ego should be named Mr. Unbearable.
Mr. Unlimited.
See, that's the thing. He's not like unbearable. He's neutral, if anything. And every once in a while, a little cringy. But man, this dude makes plays out his ass. Just not lately. Lately, he's been a turnover factory. But Russ said in a story yesterday, I'm going to keep swinging. I will keep swinging. I'll be back. Hey, Romy, even I think the fragrance industry is estranged. Regards. Yeah, I'm not going to read that. Yeah, you can go ahead and erase that, Hawk.
Inevitable.
You're firing, Hawk, if you keep bringing me crap like that is inevitable.
Inevitable.
How about an ATP? Somebody asked me a question. Ask me a good question, and I will read it on the air. Still ahead. There's going to be a Pro Bowl, but like everything else in the world, it's going to be virtual. Thoughts. I have lots of thoughts. Also, incorrect obits. You ever wonder how, when somebody kicks, that a news gathering organization has got this unbelievable package at the ready for it? It's because they're preparing these obits. It's almost like speculation. Hold up, Alvy. It's almost like, oh, that guy over there, he's got maybe 6 months. Knock out the obit. Be ready. That guy will be dead soon. And come to find out, that's exactly what they do. If you've ever wondered, man, how do they have that package, that beautiful package for that beautiful life at the ready? It's because they worked it like 9 months ago. So inevitably, if they've got these things locked and loaded, they're going to get out at some point before they're supposed to. In other words, some news gathering agency or writ is going to kill somebody before they're dead.
Game on.
Inevitable.
That could come up before the end of the program. So there is no better place, Alvy, to get in all the football action than with DraftKings, official daily fantasy partner of the NFL. Draft your lineup. Feel the sweat like never before. Every single run, every single pass, every single catch means even more with DraftKings. And it's so simple. You pick your lineup, you stay under the salary cap, and then you see how your team stacks up against the competition. Nothing adds to the excitement of watching the game quite like having a shot at millions of bucks in prizes. If you have not signed up yet, what are you waiting for? Get in the game right from the couch. Download the DraftKings Daily Fantasy app right now and use the code ROME. And for a limited time, new users can get a free shot at millions of bucks in prizes this week. Do not miss out on all this week's action. Enter the code ROME, get a free shot at millions of bucks in prizes with your very first deposit. Codename ROME, DraftKings, make it rain. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions do apply. See DraftKings.com for details.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Thank O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. We are close. We are convenient. We are known for our guaranteed everyday low prices, our excellent customer service from professional parts people you can trust. Stop by your local O'Reilly Auto Parts today. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Quick reminder, on Sunday, the NFL Today on CBS gets underway at 12 Eastern, 9 Pacific. I will be doing my views from Rome. I'm going to do it here in Southern California. We are not traveling this season, but I will be suited up and ready to roll. 12 Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific. Hawk will be there. Cindy will be there to apply my man cake. I will be suited up. Bernard will be there running the show. So that's this Sunday. I'm hyped. Make sure you look for that on CBS, noon Eastern, 9 Pacific. All right, so you can give me a call right now. I'm still looking for the right telephone calls. Listen, let me go off the board. This is kind of wacky, but I can, so I will. Like, if you live in France, then yesterday potentially might have been one of the more traumatic days of your entire life, because yesterday a French radio station called Radio France International had a pretty disturbing technical glitch when they attempted to merge all of their online content from one server to another. Because in that merge, about 100 different draft stories were published by mistake. These are stories that were either pre-written for a later day or were still being worked on. And they were in no way intended for the public eye in their current draft status. Believe it or not, that type of thing does happen. They work on stories and then they hold them, or they're stories that are a work in progress. According to the New York Times, over 100 pre-written obituaries, obits, were accidentally published to the new website. And you heard me correctly, pre-written obits. Included in these obits were Clint Eastwood, Pele, and Queen Elizabeth II. That's right. Radio France just accidentally killed Dirty Harry, Pele, and the freaking Queen. God save the Queen from her pre-written, pre-published obit. Look, I don't know what's more disturbing, the fact that Radio France accidentally killed these very alive people, or the fact that they pre-write their obits. Like, how morbid is that? How messed up is that? I mean, do they have their own death pool going on in the newsroom? These ghouls sitting around predicting who's on the clock? These ghouls sitting around trying to decide who's going to get ahead of it by pre-writing their death articles? Are they taking action? Yeah, man, I'll drop 20 on the Queen. Oh, man. Dirty Harry all day long. $50, he kicks first. Is Radio France that pressed for time? Or that desperate to be first? Or both? I mean, why do you got to pre-write this stuff? In fact, how hard is it to write a couple of paragraphs about Clint Eastwood when he actually does pass? I mean, call me crazy, but you guys are writers, right? Writers write, right? Is it so much to ask that you wait for the news? Is it so much to ask that you wait until that body is in the ground before you start hammering away at the keyboard, especially when you are trained in that profession and that's your craft? Like, I don't have a take ready to go today for the Cardinals and Seahawks game tomorrow. I haven't written that game recap twice, one each way. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to wait. I'm going to wait for it to happen. Then I'm going to do my job after it happens. I'm not going to pre-write my take on that game. Now, in fairness to Radio France, the New York Times self-reported that they themselves have more than 1,800 pre-written obits already ready to go. What I want to know is, how do you determine who gets the pre-written obit? What's the criteria? Like, is it an age? Is it a medical report? Is it a health factor? Like, who goes into that file? Like, the second you turn 65? Or is it the second you get surgery for something or an illness? Or, like, how do you know? Who goes in? And by the way, what an amazing flex. Like, oh, you guys had 100 obits of people who are still alive? Yeah, that's nice. That's cool. That's cute. We've got nearly 2,000 people that we're ready to bury, literally. And our servers actually work, so we don't accidentally go publishing them. Amazing. Now, since the Times is in the spirit of self-reporting, why don't I do some self-reporting as well? I mean, after all, just last month, I would call him a valued member of the XR4TI, but he's just a member of the XR4TI. Garrett Ritt went on this very show and did this very thing that we're talking about. Namely, he drove a stake right through Tom Hanks.
But I'm here to tell you, what I did have was an amazing concert experience before the COVID ball dropped. And I mean right before the COVID ball dropped. We saw one of the last arena shows anywhere in the world before that Rudy Gobert coughed onto everybody's microphones and Tom Hanks went belly up as well.
Britt's got like just so much attitude, man. He's so confident and with so little reason to be. And man, he loved that line about the quote, COVID ball dropping.
Bring it on.
Dude, this is not New Year's at Times Square where the ball drops. This is COVID, man. This is a virus that's insidious that has killed over 200,000 people, Ritt. This is not a party like New Year's Eve. Ritt's just like, 5, 4, here comes that COVID ball. 3, 2, 1, that giant ball of COVID just landed on 250,000 people. Come on, Ritt. That's not aging well, Ritt. Neither are you. See what I just did there? That take is not aging well, Ritt, and neither are you. Let me tell you something, old man. How's this grab you? I've got your obit pre-written. Come on, Ritt. I never thought that I'd say this, but you are the New York Times material, bro. Since killing people who are still alive is your thing, you'd fit in great over at Radio France. If I were you, man, I'd dust off that resume and send it there. In fact, congrats to you for having the Tom Hanks death before Radio France. Or even the New York Times. I bet they didn't have that one locked and loaded. But you did, Ritt. Here's an idea. How about every news gathering organization that's doing this, the Times, Radio France, freaking Radio Ike, stop killing people who aren't dead. Man, nobody gets out of here alive. We know this. It's not for any of us to say how we're going to leave. We know that. Just let people live while they're still alive. Let us appreciate every single moment. Stop trying to kill us with your preloaded obituaries. Man, it's morbid. And you know what it is most of all? It's freaking lazy. It's lazy. Write about things that are actually happening and then wait for people to die before you write about their lives. And this guy's like, send. Oh, he's dead. Send. That guy kicked. Send. Something really, really morbid about that. That's bad form. That's bad form. And then because when that fateful, unfortunate day does come, all you grim reapers can take it from there and then hit send. Something really unsavory about that. I've always known that too. Whenever you see like those 8, and by the way, TV does it. You see it on TV with networks. When they roll out these 8-minute beautifully crafted packages 8 seconds after somebody dies, you know they've had that thing in the can probably for 8 months or more. Locked and loaded for everybody who is anybody that has any kind of public notoriety. Locked and loaded. Carl tweets, I've got $20 on Tom Hanks in the death pool. Signed, Ritt. Bella B tweets, does Ritt moonlight at Radio France writing those obits? Hashtag Tom Hanks.
But I'm here to tell you, what I did have was an amazing concert experience before the COVID ball dropped. And I mean right before the COVID ball dropped. We saw one of the last arena shows anywhere in the world before that Rudy Gobert coughed onto everybody's microphones and Tom Hanks went belly up as well.
Ritt, like, I can even hear the smile in your voice. You're like ear to ear. Part of that is it's that you're on this side of the glass and people are looking at you. But understand the subject matter, dude. We're talking about a deadly virus. And you're just like, ah, this is great, man. This is fun. I'm ear to ear with it. That COVID ball is going to drop on somebody else. It already dropped on Tom Hanks. Wow, Ritt, you are a different dude.
Bring it on.
Wells tweets, feel free to write the Canadians out of the top 10 for next year's smack off. That's different. All right, when we return, I told you it'd be a little wacky and a little fun, but it was important. I'm glad. I feel much better now that I've said that. I've always wondered about that. In fact, I didn't even wonder. I knew. Without knowing, I knew. Knowing, knew, tomato, tomato, I knew. Because there's no way these networks could have these beautiful packages ready to roll that quickly. They'd already done it, man. They buried you before you were even sick. When we return, sports, you see Theo Epstein stepping away. Not only Theo Epstein stepping away, but Theo Epstein stepping away and then saying, yeah, you know that whole analytic craze that makes baseball unwatchable now? Yeah, that's me. I had something to do with that. Sorry. The epitome of sorry, not sorry. So let me get this right, Theo. You took a tube of toothpaste. You jumped up and down on it. It splattered all over the pavement. And now you're asking us to put it back in. How's that work? Let's get ourselves... Get the ATP in. ATP, Ask the Pros, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices. Excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. All right, really quickly, I've got a couple of them. At 45 Got Fat tweets, do you clean Cody the Ragdoll Cat's litter box? All right, honest answer is, if we're talking about the cats, and I do post pictures of Cody the Ragdoll Cat sometimes, because he's cool as bleep. If you see this cat, man, this cat is handsome as hell. That beautiful cat. Beautiful cat, beautiful hair. He's clean. He's just a cool cat. No, I don't do that. I feed the cat, but no, that's not one of my responsibilities. Like a lot of families, we've kind of divvied up the portion of the world. Like, I'm responsible for that portion of the globe. Janet's responsible for that portion of the globe. The kids are responsible for this portion of the globe. My portion of the globe does not include cleaning up the cat box. I will. I have. I do. I'll tell you something. You know what's a better question? Who cleans up the cat puke? Because that's a real issue in my house. Both of our cats. They're sick cats. They get sick. And they puke. And that's worse than the crap. You know, not to get graphic, but we all know, like, cat crap, at least it clumps, man. Cat puke is bad, and that happens. And it's infuriating because it wrecks the rug or whatever they hit it with. So the answer to the question is no, not really. Not often. I have, but not often. And it's not even Cody the Ragdoll Cat that's the issue, man. It's Sapphire, the rescue cat. That cat's like 18 pounds or 16 pounds.
Bombay Sapphire.
I say to Janet sometimes, like, what the hell do you feed that cat, man? Chateaubriand? They eat the same crap. So why does their crap look like that? Anyway, I digress. That's not even the winner. The answer is not usually, Howie. Not usually. The winner is Bella B. Bella B asks, if you could have a role in any of these three shows, which would you choose? The White Shadow, Entourage, or The Sopranos? Thanks, Bella B in Calgary. Bella B knows my deal. She's on to me. Those are three of my favorite TV shows ever. Ever. All right, so why don't we talk about it for a minute? Starting with Entourage. Man, I love that show. Absolutely loved Entourage. Like, event viewing. And I tried to talk to as many of the guys as I could on that show, and I did. Turtle came on. E came on. I think Adrian Grenier even did it. Jeremy Piven did it. I mean, we did everybody. I love that show so much. I tried to get the entire cast. So it was a no-brainer that when we had our Rex streak, that of course we would run down Rex Lee from Entourage. And what a bad decision that was.
Yeah. Well, was that a question? Yeah, I think so.
Maybe not a good question, huh, Rex?
No. I'm not putting it down. Yes, I definitely agree with what you've just said. I'm
by the way, Rex, that's exactly what you were doing.
I'm not being coy. I honestly don't remember. Like, they sent me a whole bunch of scripts like a month ago, and I read them a month ago, and now I don't even really remember what happened. Sorry.
Sorry, not sorry. Dude, I've been trying to forget that interview ever since it happened. I mean, this dude disrespected me greatly. Dude, you're Rex Lee. Come on, man.
Gosh, if I understood your question, this is a lifetime opportunity, but hopefully...
If I understood your question, was that a question? You believe this guy came on the show and was saying things like that to me? Was that a question? And say what you want about me. You may hate my show. Don't you ever say that I can't do an interview. And this guy's saying things like, oh, was that a question? If I understand your question.
Well, was that a question?
But I will not hold that against the program. I still love that show. All right, so that's Entourage.
No.
Stop playing him. Alvy, I got it. The Sopranos. So Michael Imperioli came on our podcast not long ago. He was talking about his podcast. Now, that's a class dude. That dude was not coming on to disrespect me or anything. We talked about The Sopranos and the anniversary and what it was like to be on that cast.
One of the great joys of that show, it was like walking down the street corner, hanging out with your friends every day. There was so much camaraderie and friendship, which is not very common on television. Not like it was on this show. So you knew when you read the script that so-and-so was going to be killed in the show, you weren't going to be hanging with them all the time. And that was the sadness that we felt.
That's interesting. That when somebody got killed off the script or off the show, they were all so close and they had so much love and respect for each other that they knew they would no longer be hanging out with that person. You know, like being on an NFL team and somebody got traded or somebody got hurt. I thought that was pretty heavy and pretty profound. Michael Imperioli showed up great. And then the White Shadow, Kevin Hooks, who I love, who played Thorpe on that show and is a renowned director, came on and we talked about the 40th anniversary of The White Shadow.
I can't believe it myself, man. It's been a hell of a run, and I'm just, I'm blown away by the fact that 40 years later, people are still talking about The White Shadow, and they still remember it, and, people still come up to me all the time, mostly in airports, by the way, for some reason, and they always kind of go back to The White Shadow, and over the years, it's gone from people who watched it, themselves, and now it's like I watched it with my dad and, that kind of thing. But it's an amazing thing, man, and I'm so proud of it. And, the 40th anniversary is just amazing.
Good dude, Kevin Hooks. All right, so to answer Bella's question, the ATP, if I had one of those three shows and I could be on the show, Entourage, The Sopranos, or The White Shadow, what would it be? Loved them all. I'm going to go White Shadow. That was the most personal to me at that age and that point in my life. That was an amazing thing. Remember, there wasn't like a universe of 500 channels. There wasn't all this content online. It was network TV, and then you had your local affiliates. There just was not a lot of content. There was not a lot of television, and that show was so much. It was so large, man, larger than life. The writing was amazing. The acting was amazing. I love the guys on the show. And I've told the story before, but I want to reset this really quickly. One of my favorite moments in the history of my TV career, and I've done TV now for the better part of 25 years, 30 years, whatever it is, thousands of different episodes for all sorts of networks. One of my favorite days ever was when John Entz and I came to the realization when I worked on Fox Sports Net on The Last Word with Jim Rome that we both loved that show. Entz and I. John Entz was an amazing TV producer, grinder, great guy. And we just started talking like, you like that show? I love that show. You like that show? Dude, why don't we do a reunion show about the show? And normally, The Last Word, if I remember correctly, was like three normal segments and one very short segment where I had a commentary. We found three or four of the cast members. We had Salami on satellite. We had three guys in studio. And we talked about the show and nobody had ever done that before. Nobody had ever done the reunion show. Nobody had ever done that. And I remember thinking at the end of that show, and we jammed those guys into that last 60-second commentary where I had my last word generally, that I'd never been so upset that a day of work ended. I'd never been so upset that a show ended. I never wanted something not to end as much as I wanted the White Shadow show to continue. And then we did it again after that in various reincarnations, and it was always awesome, but never quite the same as that first time. That was an amazing TV show. So what would I have done on a show like that? I don't know. Be myself, play myself, try and guard Thorpe. I don't really know. Let's get some reaction quickly. Chris no longer in St. Pete's having a big day. Rest in peace to my hair. And hello, Clarisel. Signed, Justin Herbert. All right, you've probably seen this. Justin Herbert, who had long hair, got a cut, And now you all want to take a run at him for having zits. Again, do I have to say this? Do I have to put a moratorium on zits? Dude, zits are zits. Like, it's not your fault. Why do you kill people for being bald? Why do you kill people for having zits? These are things that are beyond everybody's control. There's really not much you can do about it. You do better, man. All of you. Huge call. And I do that because I know that's coming tomorrow. I'm not having any of it. Any of it. For all the ones who get it done, there is Grainger offering supplies and solutions for every industry to help keep your facility safe and your people even safer. Call, click Grainger.com/safety or just stop on by. All right, so for the most part, that was a pretty good show. There were elements of that show that were very good. And then there was Chris, no longer in St. Pete's, zit take.
Unfortunate, bro.
My thanks to Ian Book, Matt Norlander, Dennis Dodd, the XR4TI. Justin Thomas is going to be my guest on the Jim Rome podcast. That's going to push out a little bit later on today. Make sure you look for that. If you're subscribed, it will find you. If not, subscribe so you can find it. See you then. We're done.
Now I'm done.